May 30, 1932, how the divine will seeks the act of the creature in order to form its life in her. Difference between the sacraments and the divine will. How the divine will is life and the sacraments are the effects of it. My little mind continues to cross the immense sea of the divine fiat. It seems to me that in all things, and even over the Supreme Being, it has the first place of dominion and of command, and it says, "In vain do you flee from me, and in all things I can say I am here. I am. I am here for you, in order to give you life. I am the insuperable, no one can surpass me, neither in love, nor in light, nor in my immensity, in which I form as many lives of mine for however many lives I want to give to creatures. Oh! Power of the divine volition, which in your immensity seeks the act of the creature in order to form as many lives of you in each of their acts. And how many of these acts do not receive you and reject you, and your life remains suffocated in you, in your immensity. Ah! Without ever tiring yourself, with the love that conquers all, you continue your searches for the human acts, in order to give your life, and be liquidated in every instant. But while my mind was lost in a sea of the fiat, my celestial teacher Jesus, visiting his little daughter, told me, "Blessed daughter of my volition, every act of the creature done in my will, is a step that she makes in order to come closer to God. And God in his turn takes a step to come closer to her. One can say that the creator and creature are always on a walk, and they never stop going toward one another. And my will descends into the act of the creature in order to form its step of divine life, and she climbs in the fiat, into the divine regions in order to make herself conqueror of light, of love, of sanctity, and of celestial knowledges. In fact, every act, word, breath, and heartbeat in my will, are many steps of divine life that the creature makes, and it yearns for these acts in order to have its field of action, so as to be able to form many divine lives in the creature. This was the purpose of creation, to form our life in the creature, to have our divine field of action in her. And therefore we love so much that she does our divine will, in order to place our life in safety. Not in us we had no need of anyone, we are more than sufficient for ourselves but in the creature. This was the great portent that we wanted and that we want to do in virtue of our will, to form our life in the life of the creature, because if we did not do this, creation would remain without our prime purpose, a hindrance to our love, a continuous bitterness to look at and see a work so great and of such magnificence, and it is not realized, and our purpose failed. And if there was not in us the certainty that our will would reign in the creature, in order to form our life in her, our love would burn creation completely, and would reduce it to nothing. And if it supports and tolerates so much, it is because we see the times to come, our purpose realized. Now, as the creature does her will, so she withdraws and takes a step back from her creator, and God withdraws. And an infinite distance forms between the one and the other. See, therefore, the necessity to persevere in a continuous way of operating in my divine will, in order to diminish the great distance between God and the creature, product of the human will. And do not believe that this is a personal distance. I am as for all, in heaven and on earth. The distance that the human volition forms without mine, is a distance of sanctity, of beauty, of goodness, of power, of love. They are infinite distances that only my volition operating in the creature can reunite and connect together and render inseparable the one from the other. This happened in the redemption. Every manifestation that was made by us about the descent of the Word on earth was one step that we made toward mankind. And as they yearned and prayed for it, and our manifestations, prophecies, and revelations were manifested to the people, so they made so many steps toward the Supreme Being, such that they remained on a walk toward us, and we toward them. And as the time of having to descend from heaven to earth drew near, so we increased the prophets in order to be able to make more revelations, in order to hasten the walk on both parts. This is so true, that in the first times of the world there was no prophet, and our manifestations were so few, that one can say that one step a century was made. This slowness of walk cast coldness on the part of creatures, and a way of saying was held by almost everyone, that my descent on earth was an absurd thing, not a reality like one thinks today about the kingdom of my will, a way of saying, and almost a thing that cannot be. Therefore the prophets came after Moses, almost in the last times, near to my descent on earth, such that after our manifestations, the walk of both parties was hastened. And then came the Sovereign of Heaven who not only walked, but ran in order to hasten the meeting with her Creator so as to make him descend and complete the redemption. See, therefore, how my manifestations on my divine will are certain proofs that it walks in order to come to reign on earth, and that the creature to whom they have been made, with an iron constancy, walks and runs in order to receive the first meeting so as to give it to her soul in order to let it reign, and so give it the step to let it reign in the midst of creatures. Therefore, let your acts be continuous, because only continuous acts are what hasten the walk, overcome every obstacle, and are the only conquerors who conquer God and the creature. After this the crowd of my thoughts about the divine will continued, and having received Holy Communion, I thought to myself, what difference is there between the sacraments and the divine will? And my Sovereign Jesus, tearing his eucharistic veils, let himself be seen, and giving a sorrowful sigh, he told me, my blessed daughter, the difference is great between the one and the other. The sacraments are the effects of my will. On the other hand, it is life, and as life, with its creative power it forms and gives life to the sacraments. The sacraments do not have the virtue of giving life to my will, because it is eternal, it has neither beginning nor end. Instead, my adorable will always occupies the first place in all things, and possessing the creative virtue by its nature, it creates things in its own life, where it wants, when and how it wants. One can tell the difference, an image of which is between the sun and the effects that the sun produces. These do not give life to the sun, but they receive the life of the sun and must remain at its disposition, because the sun produces the life of the effects. And then, the sacraments there receive according to time, to places and to circumstances. Baptism is given one time, and no more. The sacrament of penance is given when one falls into sin. My very sacramental life is given only one time a day. And the poor creature, during this length of time, does not feel over herself the strength, the help of the baptismal waters that regenerate her continuously, nor the sacramental words of the priest that fortify her in a continuous way by saying to her, I absolve you from your sins. Nor does she find in her weaknesses and trials of life, not even her sacramental Jesus, whom she can take at all the hours of the day. On the other hand, my divine will, possessing the primary act of life and of being able to give life, with its empire holds the continuous act over the creature. In every instant it gives itself as life, life of light, of sanctity, of love, life of strength. In sum, as it is life, the times, circumstances, places, hours, do not exist. There are no restrictions or laws, especially because it must give life, and life is formed with acts that are continuous, not intermittent. And therefore in the ardor of its love, with its continuous empire, one can say that it is continuous baptism, absolution never interrupted, and communion at every instant even more, because this our will was given to man at the beginning of his creation as perennial life living in him. This was the substance, the fruit of creation, our will that must form our life in the creature. With this life we gave everything. There was nothing that he could have been able to have need of, which he would not find in this will of ours. One can say that he would have found at his disposition all that he could have wanted, help, strength, sanctity, light. Everything was placed in his power, and my will took the commitment of giving him everything he wanted, provided he would give it the dominion and would let it live in his soul. Therefore, it was not necessary to institute the sacraments when man was created, because in my will he possessed the beginning and the life of all goods. The sacraments, as means of helps, of medicine, of forgiveness, had no reason to exist. But when man rejected this will of ours, that he withdrew, he remained without divine life, therefore without the nourishing virtue, without the continuous act of receiving new and growing life. And if he did not die entirely, they were the effects that my divine will gave to him according to his dispositions, circumstances, and times. Now our paternal goodness, seeing that man always goes falling more, in order to give him a support, a help, it gave him the law as the norm for his life, because in the creation it gave him neither laws, nor other things, except that of my divine will, that by continuously giving him life, gave him our divine law naturally, in a way that he would feel to it in himself, as his own life, without having the need that we would tell and command him. Even more, because where my will reigns, there are neither laws, nor commands. Laws are for the servants, for the rebels, not for the children. Between us and those who live in our volition, everything is resolved in love. But with all the law, man did not remake himself, and since our ideal for creation had been man, and only for him was everything done, therefore I wanted to come on earth into their midst. And in order to then give him more valid supports, more wholesome medicines, more secure means, more powerful helps, I instituted the holy sacraments. And these act in times and circumstances, according to the dispositions of creatures, as effects and works of my divine will. But if with all this great good, the soul does not let the divine will enter into her as life, she will always have her miseries, a life halfway, she will feel her passions alive. Sanctity, her very salvation, will always be in danger, because only my will that gives itself as continuous life, forms the sweet enchantment to the passions, to the miseries, and forms there the opposite acts of sanctity, of strength, of light, of love, in the evils of the creatures, in a way that the human volition, feeling the sweet enchantment, feels flowing in its evils the beautiful, the good, the holy of the continuous act of life that my will gives to her under its gentle and sweet empire. And she lets it do what it wants, because a continuous act that gives perennial life can never be reached through other acts, helps and means, for however strong and holy, to do the good that a continuous act can do. Therefore there is no greater evil that the creature can do to herself, nor greater wrong that she can do to our paternal goodness, than not letting our will reign in her. If she would remain in her power, she would induce us to destroy the whole creation, because the creature was made that she must be our dwelling. And not only her, but all created things, heavens, sun, earth, everything, being works that came forth from our supreme height, we hold the right of inhabiting them. And by inhabiting them, we can serve them with decorum, beautiful and always new, as in the act in which we brought them forth to the light. Now the creature, by not doing our will, places us outside of our dwelling, and it happens to us as it would happen to a rich lord who, wanting to build a great and beautiful palace, when he has finished he goes in order to dwell in it, and they close the doors in his face, they throw stones at him, in a way that he is constrained to not put a foot inside, and to not be able to inhabit his own dwelling formed by him. Would it not merit that he who had formed it would destroy it? But he does not do it because he loves his work. But he waits, and waits again, for one who he knows he can conquer in love, and by herself, by giving him the freedom of letting him live there, she opens the doors in order to let him enter. By not letting our will reign in his soul, the creature places us in the same conditions. He closes the doors in our face, and he throws the stones of his sins against us. And with invincible and divine patience, we wait. And because he does not want our will in himself as life, with paternal goodness we give him its effects, that is, the laws, the sacraments, the gospel, the helps of my examples and prayers. But for all this great good, not one can equal the great good that my will can do as perennial life of the creature, because altogether it is laws, sacraments, gospel, life. It signifies everything, can give everything, possesses everything, and this is enough in order to be able to comprehend the great difference that there is between my will as continuous life in the creature, and its effects in the sacraments that can produce not in a perennial way, but according to circumstance, to time. And although the effects can do great good, still they can never arrive at producing all the good that the life of my divine will reigning and dominating in the creature can produce. Therefore be attentive, my daughter, and give it the holy freedom of doing what it wants in your soul. Fiat.